Okay, well, the currently used EAB trap, as far as artificial traps go, is a purple prison trap, and it's worked fairly well for the last few years. But as my English teacher used to tell me, Damon, there's always room for improvement. So we looked at, there's two main things we're going to talk about today. One is trap colour, to see if there's a better colour than purple, and also lure development. We wanted to see if host volatiles could increase trap catch. So as far as colour goes, we had three main aims in 2007, and I talked a little about this last year. We wanted to look at what wavelengths of the spectrum that EAB was sensitive to in the lab. So we looked at some visual recordings in the lab and recorded retinal responses. Then we used a handheld spectrophotometer unit to measure the wavelengths and reflectances of the purple plastic itself. We looked at some foliage with Dave Bartels. And we looked at the insect elytra and abdomen. And then we looked at that data and selected some colours for paints that we put onto traps that we tested against our purple prisms. So as far as the retinal sensitivity goes, we got three, what we think are three receptors, one to the 340 UV range, one to the 430 nanometer violet range, and we got a 540 in the green. The females were interesting in that they also gave a sensitivity to 650, whereas the males didn't. So we think that could be tied in with visual cues of bark, with red being emitted from bark tissue for ovipositon. So then we looked at the hand scans that we did of the plastic, and the 430 nanometer was the main peak there, so that was interesting. And then we had our foliage was around that 540 nanometers, and the same for the elytra, so we were interested in that 540 region. And the abdomen of the insect itself is 650 nanometers. So we had some wavelengths that we thought might be interesting for traps in 2007. But I should point out that it's not all about wavelength. This is a slide from Dave Bartels, and he scanned ash leaf foliage at different times of the year. So we have May, June, July, and August. And as you can see, the reflectance changes, so the foliage gets darker through the field season. So you really have to take into consideration reflectance as well as the wavelength. And so when we selected colours for trapping, we chose a light green and a dark green in our 540 wavelength. For the purple, we chose a light purple, around 70% reflectance, and our darker purple actually matched the 430 peak that we see with the purple plastic. And so we put some purple and green traps high and low in the trees. This tree hadn't leafed out yet, this was early, it wasn't actually dead. But the trap catches low down were nothing that really stood out. We had our purple plastic and then our painted treatments. But then on the high traps, the green traps really stood out, and we've got some nice high catches, and we don't have any lures on these traps. So the light green seems to do better early on in the season, but as the flight season progresses towards the end, and if you look at catches over the entire field season, the dark green traps catch up and actually do quite well. So there's no real difference in reflectance over the entire field season. So as far as the summary goes, we saw some sensitivities in the lab to the UV and violet and green ranges, and for the females we saw red. And when you look through the literature, this actually matches up with some papers on bees. So when you have like three receptors like that, it gives you a very good general purpose vision system. So you're very good at being able to discriminate things like foliage or mates. So we think that EAB really has a very good vision system. And so our green traps catch more beetles high up. The purple traps tend to catch more beetles as you go lower down the tree. So the green traps really have to be in the canopy. The green traps do tend to catch more males than females, about 3-to-1 ratio. The purple traps tend to catch more females. So we think that's due to the amount of red in the purple colour. And so we've really tried to optimise the reflectance and wavelength of green and purple colours. And that's Joe's talk, which is coming up shortly. So the colour trapping in 2008, we wanted to look at our wavelength of green, which is around 535, 540 nanometers. But so we went to a plastic company who matched our wavelengths that we wanted and provided us with a green plastic for traps. And then we wanted to look at some iridescent traps, and then I wanted to look at the UV and some red LED light systems in green traps to see if that would enhance trap catch at all. And then we looked at some high resolution images of EAB that we stuck onto small mini prisms that we tested in the canopy. So the insect itself, I'm sure you've all seen photographs of EAB, it's highly iridescent. This is the abdomen with the elytra removed as lit from above, so you get a red coloration. When you light it from the side, you get a very clear-cut gold coloration. So they're really beautiful insects. So in the past, we've tried things like glitter glue and nail varnish. I'm quite the expert on nail varnishes now, but I really had to look into something that was really clear-cut as far as making an iridescent trap. So I looked at this company called Chromaflare, and basically anything that's man-made that if you go past a car that's had a very nice paint job that changes colours as you drive past it, it has Chromaflare pigment in the paint. And it's just very small flakes. And you can incorporate that into paint, and you can basically spray that onto different textured surfaces. So this is the fine red to gold Chromaflare, and this is a surface of plastic that's been treated with a rippled kind of undercoating, and then it's sprayed with this paint on top. So I just thought it was interesting because the ripples on the surface actually match up with the kind of ripples and surface of the thorax of EAB. So we thought, you know, this might be quite a nice iridescent system to try. And they do have a color range that goes from purple to green. So we thought, okay, well, it's probably worth testing. I'm not sure if the wavelengths are really what we want based on our previous results, but we thought it was probably worth trying out. So this is the same material but viewed from a different angle. And here's one of our traps that's painted in the field. So they look really nice and they're super expensive, but we thought we'd try them out. So we had two purple-green treatments, and we tried it against our very standard basic green plastic trap. We put them high up, but we did get much better traps, trap catch on the green control trap. So the Chromaflare, thankfully, didn't really work very well. It's very expensive. But we did try and enhance some green traps with holes punctured in them with some light traps based on our retinal responses in the lab. We wanted to try a UV light and some of these red LED light systems. Kind of a pain to set up because you've got a big heavy battery, but you can leave them up all day and very late into the night, and we thought it was worth testing anyway. But the UV lights and the red LEDs didn't really enhance the green trap at all. The green traps seem to do better just by themselves. And then we get onto the mini canopy trapping. So these guys are 8 by 10 inch panels on each side, so they're quite small. And we tested our Chromaflare treatments. We tried high resolution images and some plastic green controls. And none of the treatments really worked as far as photographs go. We tried abdomens at various, these are all to scale and very high resolution images. We tried the elytra and the thorax, didn't really work. We tried a blown up image of the elytra and the thorax, they didn't seem to work. And we tried our Chromaflare treatments. But the only treatments that really worked fairly well were these 545 light green traps. So these were printed, and these were high resolution images, about 2,800 dpi of the insect itself, females. And these are our just plastic traps. So anything that was light green seemed to work better. So as far as lure development goes, we've been, in the last few years, we've looked at bark volatiles off girdled stress trees. In 2005, we got some nice EAD active peaks, 6 compounds, and we were able to identify 5 of those at the time, but they're very expensive, difficult to synthesize. So we had to look at natural sources such as manucrol, which is from a tea tree oil, and phoebe oil, which is from Brazilian walnut, and they have these compounds in nice high amounts. So we've been using those for trapping. And this year, Alad Kosse has helped us identify the 6th compound, which is eremophiline. So in 2007, we tried our Manucrin Fee blurs, and they do work much better than just standard controls. However, trap catch is better higher up, so what happens if you combine a green trap with an oil lure and place it high up in an ash tree? Then you get really large numbers. These are the treatments. I don't really have time to go through these, but the Fee ball treatments did tend to do quite well. We had a Manuka 80-20% lure mixed with 20% phoebe oil, and we were getting nearly 400 insects on a high green trap. So having a lure enhances the green trap again threefold, but you do have to put them very high. Here's a trap with lots of beetles on it. And so in summary, the most sensitive trap is a green plastic trap baited with an oil, but they must be placed high up in trees, so not popular for large-scale trapping. So how effective are these traps in low infestation areas where they're really needed for picking up new infestations, and how do they compare against girdle trap trees? And that's going to be Jordan Marshall's talk shortly, so I'm going to definitely stick around for that one. I guess I have to because I'm moderating. But as far as the program goes, they did try over 60,000 of these purple traps with a monocular, and they did find that they got 10 new detections. So this is the main central core, but they put a massive grid trapping system up in these outer lines, which really weren't expected to have any insects there. And it did actually pick up a campsite in Missouri, picked up EAB, which was kind of the big news for Missouri that year. So that was, but at least it shows that these traps are working in these low infestation areas. I'd like to thank all of the staff that I work with in Brighton and all of my colleagues and friends for helping me get this work together. So thank you very much. I know, I was rushing a bit.
Can you do what is the sort of residual time? How long does a PB20 oil last?
Okay, the question was how long does a Phoebe Manuka lure last? It's around about a month, and so they put them out and then they replace them usually just before peak flight hits. But the lures themselves, they tend to emit a lot of the oils have a lot of other compounds in them. And so there's a lot of monoterpene junk that tends to come off in the first few days, and then they kind of settle down.
Now, with the degradation process of that trap oil, is there like a peak within the peak? I guess I'm asking.
We've done.
Okay, I can talk to you later.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.